Your next speaker is Avon Malone.
I invite you to join me in a reading from the 15th chapter of John, beginning at verse 1. We want to read down through about verse 12. We may notice also verse 17. John chapter 15, beginning at verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he cleanseth it, or purgeth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already you're clean, because of the word which I've spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, without me, apart from me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and they gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you. Look at verse 17. These things I command you, that you love one another. Let me re-stress verse 1, verse 5, and then the commands to love in 12 and 17. I'm the true vine, verse 1. I'm the vine, and you're the branches, verse 5. Verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another, even as I've loved you. And then again in verse 17, these things I command you, that you love one another. These words are spoken by our Lord as He draws near to the ominous shadow of the cross. The words of John 17 come out, or John chapter 15 rather, that we've just read, come out of those farewell discourses of Christ as He addresses the apostles approaching the sacrifice that at this time is so extremely near. And notice, in picturing His relationship to them, He said, I'm the vine and you're the branches. So close, so vital, so intimate is that relationship that it can be described as the relationship between the vine and the branches. I'm the vine, He said, you're the branches. And then in that context, He talked about loving. I give you a commandment, verse 12. That you love one another. Verse 17, this is my commandment, that you love one another. Listen very carefully to this. Love is what we do because we're in the vine. There is a correlation between His command to love and the figure that He's just used. The figure is, He is the vine, we're the branches. We derive life and strength and vitality and power from Him. And without Him, we can do nothing. John 15, 5. He says, the Father has loved me, and I have loved you, and now I'm commanding you to love. And love is something that we do because we're in the vine. The love of John 15, like the love of 1 Corinthians 13, is not a mere human affection. It is a love that grows out of a relationship with our Lord. It is a love that loves the unlovable. It's a love that loves the broken, those things that seem to be too broken to be mended, to be put back together again. Is there really any hope for the broken heart? One welding company said, we weld everything but broken hearts. Human ingenuity and human skill is amazing. It's accomplished a lot in our technologically advanced age. But we cannot in and of ourselves heal the broken heart. And you've either had one, or you have one, or you know someone who suffers from one. It's the common experience of us all. Any hope for that? Any cure for the broken heart? Hopes that are blasted. Hopes that are dashed. Hearts that are hurt. Loss of various kinds. A loss of a loved one. Loss of health. The heart is broken. Any hope for that? I think so. And I think much of the message to the broken heart that we have in the Word we have right here in John chapter 15. The God of love has revealed Himself in Jesus. God with us. Matthew 1:23. Here's God's love in human form. Here is the God-man. Here is the true vine. And in that one, we're able to love. And there is a connection, there is a correlation between the fact that He says, I'm the vine, and you're the branches, and except you abide in Me, you'll not be effectual, you'll not be productive. Without Me, you can do nothing. Now then, here's what I want you to do. I want you to love. And He commands us to love. We have no choice. This is a love that we're commanded to express. And it's a love that we express toward the unlovable. Any hope for things too broken to mend? John Masefield wrote these words. And God who gives the beginning gives the end. A place for broken things too broke to mend. Is there any hope for the broken heart? I believe the child of God should be one who initiates the kind of love that reaches out to the one that's hurting, to the one that's experienced the broken heart, to the one that feels, I'm almost without hope. I don't know which way to turn. You see, we're within the vine, and there is a vitality and a life and a love that's ours, that's really, in another sense, not ours, but His. And so, we love because we're in Him. And as I look at His life, I see that He especially had a feeling for that one who seemed to be without any kind of human help or hope. He reaches out to the tax collector so despised by the Jews of His day. He reaches out to the publican, to the sinner. He reaches out to those who are looked upon with supercilious disdain and disgust, the rigidly orthodox of the time, having nothing to do with them. But He comes to heal the broken. Some of the passages on that we want to notice in a moment. But I'd like to follow a pattern something like this as I try to relate. John chapter 15, the command to love and the vine and branches figure to the broken hearts of our world and of our lives. I'd like to talk first of all about things that are broken, too broken, apparently, to be mended. And then I'd like to talk about how He heals. How it is that He heals. How it is that He loves. What's the place of healing, the way of healing? How does He heal us? And then I want to talk about how we love and how we reflect this love that's His toward a world that's filled with broken hearts. And fill with broken and blasted dreams. People who are hungering for help. And people who feel that really there is no help. Let's talk first of all about things that are broken, too broken apparently at least, to be mended. What about broken dreams in everybody's life? There comes that dawning expectation that becomes a bright and vivid hope. I'm not talking about the ultimate hope and the ultimate glory. I'm talking about those hopes that we have for right now in the land of the living. It may be a place, it may be a position, it may be a promotion, it may be a possession, it may be a person. If I could just win his heart or her heart, oh, that would be the culmination of my dreams. And then there comes the poignant and dawning realization that this dream may never come true. It may never come to fruition. Here was a couple, an older couple, that put their life savings in a particular venture and it failed. And all the dreams for secure retirement and travel were dashed in that one thing. Here is a young mother, and her husband's taken away prematurely, dying because of careless, needless tragedy. And there's a floral wreath placed on that casket by the hand of that young mother with just one word followed by a question mark. Why? She's left with three little ones. Why? Blasted hopes and broken dreams. There's the dream of continuing good health, and then suddenly we lose that. And plans and pleasure go gurgling down the drain. And we find that persistent pain is there. And dreams and hopes are gone. Here's a woman who, after 2 decades, loses her spouse, not to death, but otherwise. And she says, I experience an irreparable loss. And mine is an irreparable hurt in the heart. And on we can go, because you know about the broken dreams. And you know about the blasted hopes. What about those in human relationship? Some of the broken dreams could take the personal names of loved ones and friends. And here we have this anxiety and this concern, but we're powerless. And concerned is mingled with impotence and an inability to help and an inability to do anything. And we struggle with that. Maybe the very one who seems to be the cause of some of the broken dreams is one very close to us that we need to love and want to love, but we find it difficult to love. Broken relationships over and over again. Can't be welded like you could weld two bits of metal together. And of course, there's that most crucial relationship. And I really think this underlies a lot of the hurts. I think so many things are magnified because there is something very wrong at the very heart of our lives. You see, the crucial relationship is the relationship with our God. He made us in His image. Genesis 1:27. He made us for favor and fellowship with Him. Augustine was right when he said, Thou hast made us for Thine own, and we're restless till we rest in Thee. But the relationship is ruptured by sin, and the fellowship is fractured by our sin, by our rebellion, by our wrongdoing, and sin separates man from God. Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that He can't heal. Neither is His ear heavy that He cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have turned His face that He will not hear you. And there's the most significant broken relationship. When the relationship with God is broken. So we have all of this brokenness. And we have all of the fractured friendships and the ruptured relationships. And we have all the blasted dreams. And is there no hope for that? And the answer is that the great I Am of John's Gospel. I'm the bread of life, John 6:35. I am the light of the world, John 8:12. Before Abraham was born, I am, John chapter 8. I am from above and you're from beneath, John 8 at verse 23. I am the way, the truth, the life, John 14:6. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11:25. The great I Am, Emmanuel, God with us, shows God's love for us, and that love is not just on the bright days. You know, we can glibly sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. One of the most profound songs we could ever sing. And we just sing it glibly and easily on the bright days. Let me tell you when you need to sing that. Let me tell you when it's tough to sing that song we've known. From childhood, from early boyhood or girlhood, we've all known this song. But it's tough to really sing that. Jesus loves me, this I know. In the dark, deep night, the black midnight of blasted hopes and dreams. And yet that's part of life. That's part of the abject reality of life. I've experienced it, you've experienced it, we'll continue to. And unless we can accept His love and realize that He loves us then, we've missed something that's very, very important. You see, we're intended to be reflectors of that love. And yet there are questions that ache for answers. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth and song? Does He care when my tears flow all the night long, as that song goes on to put it? And the answer is yes, there is an answer. There's a place of healing for things apparently too broken to mend. Yes, there is. The I Am of John's Gospel. The one who said, I am the vine, and I am the way, and I am the resurrection and the life can heal. And the psalmist spoke of the kind of work that he would do. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted. He heals or saves the crushed in spirit. Psalms 34 at verse 18. The Lord, the King James has it, is nigh unto the brokenhearted. He heals the contrite in spirit. He's near to the brokenhearted. He saves the crushed in spirit. In Psalms 147 at verse 3, we have the same truth. He heals the brokenhearted. He saves the brokenhearted. In Psalm 61 verse 1, quoted by our Lord in Luke 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me and He's anointed me to preach glad tidings to the poor and to heal the brokenhearted. He has anointed me, Isaiah 61, verse 1, fulfilled in Luke 4, in our Lord Jesus Christ. He has anointed me to heal the brokenhearted. Is there no help? Is there no healing? Is there no balm in Gilead? And the Word answers, yes, there is. And this one, the I Am of John's Gospel, the one who, like the Father, is life inherent, self-existent, I Am, the one who continues to live, the contemporary Christ, has the answer. But it's costly healing. The place of the healing really is the cross. And the greatest brokenness in human experience is caused by sin and guilt. And He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. 1 Corinthians 15:3. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, Ephesians 1 and 7. He loved us and loosed us from our sins through His blood, Revelation 1, 5. Our robes are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb, Romans 7, 14. Being therefore justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. Romans chapter 5, verse 9. That puts back together the most crucial relationship. The brokenness, the estrangement, the alienation, the separation caused by sin is removed through the cross. And the cross really is at the heart of the healing of that one who came to heal the brokenhearted and to save the crushed in spirit. But now hang on for the hard truth. Hang on now for our side of it. He loves, He cares, and His is a constant continuing love, and you can't read through the Gospels. You can't listen to Him talking to the woman in John 8. You can't listen to Him in repeated situations without seeing that His heart is touched by those who are most needy. He'll not quench the smoking flax. He'll not bruise the broken reed. Proverbialism for the fact that He feels most concerned about the weakest and He reaches out to them, and so must we. But now hang on for the hard truth. The cure for the broken heart is brokenness. And we come back to the cross again. The cure for the broken heart is brokenness. And if you and I really want complete healing, we need to come, as it were, to that cross and really give ourselves. I have never known a broken-hearted person who made a complete and unreserved surrender of himself and his sorrow and his broken dreams to the Lord, but what he was healed. There is healing. There is a balm in Gilead. But the healing for the broken heart is brokenness. And David learned that. David knew about that. He'd committed grievous sin. A great and heinous wrong against God and man. He was guilty of it. And he cries out from the depths of a broken heart, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God." Psalm 51. "Against Thee only have I sinned and done this evil in Thy sight." And now listen to it. In about verses 16 and 17 of the 51st Psalm, "Thou desirest not sacrifices, else would I give them. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings." The sacrifices of Jehovah are a broken and a contrite spirit. A broken and a contrite heart Thou wilt not despise, O God. What's the cost of healing? What's the price of peace? How can I know healing for my brokenness and my broken heart? Well, it's the broken and contrite spirit. The broken heart is healed in brokenness. And there's a marvelous moment that comes to that one whose hopes have been blasted, who has suffered loss and who says, "Whatever comes, Thy will be done. Lord, I know You didn't send this, but I know You can use it. And I surrender it and myself to Thee. Make me a captive, Lord, and then I shall be free." Force me to render up my sword, and I shall conqueror be. I sink in life's alarm when by myself I stand. Imprison me within thine arm, and strong will be my hand. Let's think about broken dreams. Here are these dreams. A lot of our dreams are misguided. We grab for the glitter, the gusto as it is in some commercials, or the glitter, the transitory, the fleeting, the insignificant. Our priorities are all off. But it still hurts when there dawns the realization that that dream is not going to be reality. What about that? And the principle we're talking about now. Bring that blasted dream and leave it with the Lord and say, in effect, I'm sure that wasn't going to be best anyway, and you can use this. And now you take me and you make me, and if need be, you break me and work out in my life what's best. Be grateful for the fact you didn't get everything you wanted. Benjamin Franklin said, double a man's wishes and you'll double his trouble. And so be thankful that some things did not come to fruition. What about this matter of our health? We come and we say, whether I live, whether I die, I'm the Lord's. I'm more than this frail body, but this body I give to Thee. Live or die, it's yours. What about grief? Here's this loved one. You know, David had a pretty great attitude in the face of that. When an infant died, David said, he can't come to me, I'll go to him. And so I'm going to just commit this grief to the Lord, whatever it is, a broken dream, a broken relationship, blasted hopes, health, grief, human relationships. The price for the healing of the broken heart is brokenness, the spirit that we see in Gethsemane. Not my will, but thine be done. And when we come to the cross and we see it, of course, as that heals us from our guilt, as we obey from the heart that form of doctrine, but we see also that it is the cross and the spirit of surrender and the continued death, the I'm crucified and Christ lives in me, not my will but thine be done. There's the healing for the broken heart. So in all of this, there's one hard truth that may not on the surface be pleasant or seemingly palatable. But friend, I want to tell you, it's wonderful and it's powerful. The healing for the broken heart is in brokenness. One man confided in a friend, had not the Lord broken my human pride, I would have never surrendered my will to Him. But it's out of that brokenness that comes surrender. And it's in that marvelous moment when we say, not my will, but thine be done, that all of these things that we've already mentioned, things apparently too broken to men, find the kind of healing that the Lord can provide. Now then, what about our relationship to others? We've been helped that we might help others. We've been saved that through us and our saving Lord, others might be saved. We've been healed that we might be healers. We're in a world in which there's a continual ministry of healing and ministry of reconciliation that must go on. What's our part in that? Well, did you listen to John chapter 15? I hope you'll read that whole chapter. We didn't read the whole chapter. Toward the end of it, Jesus said that the world has hated me and that the world will hate you because you're not of the world. There's hostility and there's hatred. There's going to be opposition. There will be problems. But in the midst of all of that, I'm the vine, the true vine, and you're the branches. Now, without me, you can do nothing, but in me, you can bear fruit. And here's what I want you to do. I'm giving you a command, verse 12. I'm giving you a command, verse 17. It's not simply some sort of wistful sentiment on the part of our Lord. He commands us to love. To love as I have loved you. And His love is a love that's there in that black night of humiliation, embarrassment, pain, peril, all of that. He's there. And now we're to love as He loved. Somebody said, true love is your pain in my heart. You know what we need in this world? We need people, not simply from a distance, sympathetically viewing the problem, but empathetically sharing the problem. We need people demonstrating that true love that we've just defined. True love is your pain in my heart. That's what He intends for us to do. What's the key to it? Oh, it's so obvious and so simple in John 15. I'm the vine, you're the branches. The branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. Last part of verse 5, without me you can do nothing. Now you've seen and I've seen some people who from a human standpoint seem to be just almost completely unlovable. You've known some personalities and to try to love was like trying to embrace a porcupine. Just a little bit difficult. Here's somebody that doesn't really want that, you see, because that person doesn't really love himself or herself. And that's the person that so much needs our love. How in the world can you love the unlovable by being in the vine? By depending on a power and a love not your own. You see, he loves. And he loves those publicans looked upon by most Jews as money-grubbing tax collectors. And he loved the sinners and publicans and harlots and he reached out to them. And lives that had been torn and twisted and tortured by sin. And it looked hopeless and he reached out to them. And he says, now you love as I have loved. Selflessly. Sacrificially. And love as I've loved, and I'm always there at the darkest time because, you see, I was sent to heal the brokenhearted. I was sent to save the crushed and contrite in spirit. And so, you see, He's not just the Lord of winners, He's the Lord of losers. He's not simply the Lord of those who seem to walk on bright days in fair ways, but He's the Lord of those who struggle. And that's all of us at some time in our life, and that's the world around us. And what's ever going to bring that world to really see Him? Well, you know, a couple of chapters earlier in John, in that chapter where He's girded Himself with a towel and washed their feet, He said, a new commandment give I unto you, John 13:34, that you love one another as I've loved you. Hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples, because you have loved one to another. What are the things too broken to men? We've made a listing. Maybe we didn't hit your particular brand of problems, but I think we got most of it. And at the heart of so much of it is that brokenness caused by sin. There's a cure, the cross. But on a practical level, the real cure for the broken heart is brokenness, a broken spirit on our part that comes and brings whatever it is and surrenders that in ourselves to Him. Now, how do we show that love to others? By depending upon that one who is the source of our strength. I'm the vine, you're the branches. Now you love. And we love by being in the vine. Love is something we do because we're in the vine. This isn't just human love. This isn't just loving the lovable. This is something else. He provides the power. Listen to a great verse. Listen carefully. Get every word of this one. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Hope putteth not to shame. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which He has given unto us. He gives His Spirit to them that obey. Acts 5:32. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which He has given unto us. And Galatians 5:22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When the Lord guides, the Lord provides. Wherever and whenever the Lord guides, the Lord provides. And He tells us to love. And He tells us to love the unlovable. And He commands us to love. And He uses this word agape or agapao, the love that involves the will. And we say, Lord, that's tough. That's tough. That doesn't come natural. That's not the natural love. That's not the human kind of love. No, it goes beyond that. How then can we reflect that? By being in the vine. Depending upon spiritual energy and power, not our own. And His very Spirit, which He gives to them that obey Him, provides it. Hope puts not to shame because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Spirit which He has given unto us. Now listen one more time to those words in 13:35 of John. Hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have loved one to another. Aristides writes to the Emperor Hadrian and he says of Christians, there is something of the divine in them. And I think that must be that great love, that agape love. The fruit of the Spirit itself seen in evidence in these lives. Christians vitally linked to Christ. As close to Him as the branch is to the vine. And bearing fruit because of that connection. And loving because of that connection. Hereby shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have love one to another. And the world is still hungering to see that kind of authentic love. And when the Church of Jesus Christ models that kind of love, so that 20th century unbelievers like unbelievers back in the first and second and third centuries would say, behold how they love one another. When people in the 20th century began to say that, what wonders can be performed and how people will press into the kingdom as they see that kind of love. Maybe we need a sign, rephrasing the sign of the welding company. We weld relationships by healing broken hearts. The cross can do that. The price is brokenness on our part. He can only heal us as we're willing to surrender to Him. And it's at the point of sublime surrender as we go beyond cynicism, as we go beyond self-blaming or flailing accusations toward others, as we go beyond self-pity, as we get beyond all of that, and we surrender ourselves, and we say, here am I, send me, Lord. Here am I, take me, break me. I'm crucified, none of self, and all of thee. And it's at that point that we begin to know a personal peace. And it is from that point, and from that place, and from that position, that we can begin to reach out to the broken hearts